Good morning. This meeting of the House Education Committee will please come to order. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2019, and the time is 8:01 a.m. Members of House Education present are Co-Chair Representative Andy Story, Representative Josh Rivak, Representative Grier Hopkins, and myself, Representative Harriet Drummond, Co-Chair. We have a quorum to conduct business. Before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence their cell phones. Our recording secretary today is Selman Holland, and Madison Truitt is our LIO moderator assisting with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today on the agenda, we have two of the governor's appointments to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development. And as Representative Hopkins said, it's above our pay grade, but we have to end this meeting at 9 o'clock, preferably a couple of minutes before, so we will speak quickly this morning. And I see that Representative Tuck is about to join us. And first up, we have Sally Stockhausen calling in from Ketchikan. Sally is a teacher and needs to get back to her class soon, so I hope we can be as timely as possible with her hearing. Good morning, Ms. Stockhausen. Are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Go ahead and tell us why you would like to be a member of the State Board of Education and Early Development, and then we'll have some questions for you. Ms. Stockhausen, go ahead. Did we lose her? Let's see. Should we give her a minute to call back? How's that? Is that off net? Shall we go ahead with Mr. Griffin?
If she's got school, we should maybe give her
a
second.
Yeah, not until 9.
Oh.
Do we have her number?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yes, please call her.
Just take a look.
At ease. Back on the record. Ms. Stockhausen, are you with us now?
Yes, I'm sorry. That was completely my fault. I bumped the phone.
That's quite all right. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and any affiliation you might have, and tell us why you would like to be a member of the State Board of Education and Early Development.
Okay, thank you. Well, good morning. My name is Sally Stockhausen. I'm a special education teacher at Ketchikan High School. I began my teaching career in 1998 in Fort Worth, Texas as a middle school English and ESL teacher. In 2002, my husband and I moved to Glen Allen, Alaska for what we thought was going to be a 1 or 2 year adventure. He was a history teacher and a basketball coach at Glen Allen High School. And because there were no jobs open for me at the time, I became a paraprofessional in the special education program. It didn't take long for me to discover my passion and calling in life, which is advocating for and teaching students in special education. In the Copper River, I received outstanding professional development in multi-sensory reading programs and writing interventions, and worked with staff and administration to create an RTI model way before that was common practice. I earned my master's in special education at UAA and taught special education in the Copper River School District for 4 years. During that time, we started a family, and in 2008, we moved our family to Ketchikan. My husband teaches history and PE and is the basketball coach at the high school, and I have continued to teach special education. We have two lovely kids. Our daughter is entering high school next year, and our son is entering middle school. Outside of my family, my greatest passions are advocating for students who struggle, teaching them to advocate for themselves, and creating a safe learning environment, improving post-secondary outcomes for students in special education. I'm very excited to be a part of the Board of Education. We have a strong board who's committed to investing in the future of Alaska, the education of our children. I totally support the mission statement of every student receives an excellent education every day. I support the Alaska Education Challenge and its challenges to increase student success, cultivate safety and well-being, and support responsible and reflective learners. Very excited about the trauma-informed schools movement that is transforming schools and how they support our students. The issues identified by this movement and are being talked about by districts around the state are ones that classroom teachers have been struggling with to help students for many years. And I'm optimistic that as we as schools can make huge differences in the future of our students as we make intentional changes to become more aware of the trauma that so many of our students and their families have faced or are facing. I bring to the board my years of teaching at the elementary, middle, and secondary level. I've taught in the inner city, in rural Alaska, and in small town Alaska. I have taught general education as well as ESL and special education, along with serving on many teams and committees. I'm excited to be able to bring not only a teacher's perspective to the board, but also the special educator's perspective to this table. I'm excited as well as to gain the new perspective that comes from serving on the board. We are in challenging times, but I look forward to working with the board to use resources we have to assist districts in meeting the Alaska Education Challenge. In terms of goals, I'm excited to be on the board at this time. A goal I have for us is to help districts implement our Alaska Education Challenge by finding innovative, creative ways to increase student success, cultivate safety, and support learners. If there's anything I know about educators is that they are resourceful people. I am excited to be a part of a group who will be helping to find ways to make our educational system sustainable in our changing economy. I'm looking forward to helping districts implement the trauma-engaged practice framework for when students feel safe and connected at school. Then and only then can they learn and hope to move through the trauma they have or are experiencing. Often out of times of adversity comes times of great growth. I see some of our struggles right now, such as test scores, budget issues, UAA's accreditations, as our opportunities for innovative growth. I'm anxious to be a part of a board who is passionate about improving education in our state through these situations. I care about the future of our students in our state, and I'm very excited about the idea of increasing CTE opportunities for students so that all students have a chance for a bright future. CTE classes not only give students the life skills they need, but they help them investigate career paths and motivate them to stay in school and pursue further training. There is absolutely nothing like watching a student who has struggled academically for their entire school career, but when they step into an auto shop or a wood shop, they're at the top of their class. Watching their self-confidence blossom and transform them into adults is almost like magic. All of a sudden, attendance improves, and so do their academic skills as they learn relevant applications of these skills. I would like to see more and more of these opportunities in our schools. And finally, I'm excited about the goal of improving partnerships with families, communities, and tribes. I'm excited that this is a priority at the state level, as we all need to be working together to support our greatest treasure, our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stockhausen. Questions from the committee? Representative Story, go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations to your family on winning, Ketchikan winning the basketball state tournament. I am a daughter of a basketball coach, and I know how excited that is for the whole family.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yes. And I see that you've been a special education teacher, and I am wondering, what do you believe are the tools schools need to help students reach third grade literacy standards?
Mm-hmm. I think it's much early intervention that we can do the better. I think catching them, doing screeners right their first day entering the school and figuring out where those basic phonemic awareness skills are and starting interventions right then. Years ago, back in the days when we would wait almost until third grade to screen for special education or screen for reading issues, kids were way behind, and if they aren't reading, as we all know, if they're not reading by third grade, they're never going to catch up. And so we've got to start as soon as those kids enter into the building.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Representative Story. Representative Tuck. And also I'd like to note that Representative Zulkowski has joined us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell us how you were selected for this position?
From what I understand, they were looking for someone in Southeast Alaska, and I said that I was interested and applied and went through the process.
And if I may, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Another question. Can you explain to us your role as a State Board of Education member?
Sure. and excuse me. I think it's to support our goal set forth in the Alaska Education Challenge, and to work on policies that support that and support districts as they implement the goals set forth in the Alaska Education Challenge.
Representative Tuck, follow-up.
Anything with Mount Inchcombe?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a role in anything with Mount Inchcombe?
Yes. So, and again, this is new to me, but from what I understand, we're part of their, or we are their school board, so we have someone who's a liaison that goes to their meetings, and we work together.
Any other comments on your roles and duties as a school board member?
You know, really, for me, I am most passionate about focusing on kids and making our education as strong as we can. Something we had, we learned at our last board meeting is Commissioner Johnson is establishing some subcommittees where we are going to take a little bit more of an active role in working on things like policies and regulations and standards and assessments, and just kind of going through working together with the DEED staff to make sure that everything that we have out there right now all aligns with and supports the Alaska Education Challenge.
If I may, Madam Chair, another follow-up.
Representative Tuck.
Can you label or tell us what those subcommittees will be?
Sure, and I don't have that in front of me, so I'm going to do my best from memory, if that's okay. I am on the Standards and Assessment Committee. We have, I think it was policies, and I'm sorry that I'm not remembering. I didn't bring that with me today. I didn't bring my notes from that meeting, but I can definitely get back to you on that.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Anyone else with questions? Representative Story, continue.
Yes. Do you support Governor Dunleavy's proposal to reduce school funding by 25%?
You know, this is a hard thing. Like any other teacher in our state, this budget worries me. Like any parent, this budget worries me. And then at the same time, I'm also worried for the financial future of our state and what that means for our future Alaskans. I don't envy your job or the job of the governor to have to figure out how to make this budget work, not only for now, but for generations to come, whether that be to find new sources of revenue and or to cut expenses. I thank you for your service and carrying this burden for us so that we as a board can focus on students in Alaska.
Follow-up, Representative Story.
Yes, I see the state board's role as being an advocate for public education, and I hope that the board would adequately look at situations and make advisements based on what they see as the needs, which has to do, I know resourcing is not everything to make positive changes, but it does matter, and so I would hope in any role that you have that you would adequately advise for public education.
Additional questions from members for Ms. Stockhausen? I have a couple myself. I'm Harriet Drummond, co-chair. I heard you say, Ms. Stockhausen, that you worked through multi-sensory instruction in the Copper Center. Did that include teaching kids with dyslexia or identifying kids with dyslexia?
At the time, we were we had some multi-sensory training through the Slingerland program, but we were more heavily using Linda Mood Bell at the time. And so what we had was the Linda Mood Bell, and I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a huge assessment package, and it really takes reading and breaks it down into all the different little parts and finding out exactly where the breakdown is. And so while we didn't and couldn't exactly diagnose people, of course, with dyslexia, we could easily find out where the weaknesses were. And more often than not, that weakness is right there in that phonemic awareness where they can't quite, you know, it's like hearing the sounds, but processing the sounds and making all those connections. And so Linda Mood Bell is a sensory program, multi-sensory program that helps those students get through that. So were we labeling them as that? No, but we were definitely catching students with dyslexia-like tendencies. Does that make sense?
yes, it does. Okay. As a special education teacher, are you aware of the letter from the U.S. Department of Education that said that dyslexia absolutely is an identifiable reading disability, and that public schools should be identifying students with dyslexia?
Yes.
And as a middle school, you've been a middle school English teacher now for what, 10 years in Ketchikan?
High school.
Okay, and high school.
I'm English and special education. Go ahead.
That's all right. So assuming that they didn't get the training that they needed, are you able to identify students with dyslexia or other reading disabilities now and be able to do something for them as a high school teacher?
Yes. Usually what I do, now I don't have all of those same assessment and all of those same things that I had when I was in Copper River. This district is not using Linda Mubell at this time, so I don't have all those assessments. But using my training, you know, if I have some kids, and often by the time they get to high school, they've figured out enough coping strategies that they're getting through. There are times, however, that I have certain kids that just are not, despite all these years of interventions, they're just not there. And so what I'll do is I'll do a reading assessment, and I'll figure out where the breakdown is happening and get some kind of a program that works on whatever their breakdown is. And I'm really blessed right now to have paraprofessionals on my staff who have taught reading at the elementary level, and so between us we can work together to meet those needs.
Happy to hear that that you are aware of phonemic awareness and all of those excellent mm-hmm. things that need to be taught at the very earliest opportunities. You also said you worked in an inner city school or inner city
mm-hmm.
district. Where was that, please?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. And how many years was that?
I was there for 4 years.
Okay. All right. And
and that's where I taught middle school English.
All right, and one more item. In terms of your support of the constitutional prohibition on the use of public funds for private schools, you must have taken an oath that says that you support the state's constitution. Is that correct?
Yes.
And do you support the section of the constitution that says we will deliver a public, an appropriate public education to every student in the state?
It is my duty as a board member to uphold the Constitution. If, however, it comes to an amendment in that Constitution, it's my duty to also be open to the discussion from all angles to help make a decision of what is best for students. But if the Constitution prohibits that, then it's my job to support that.
And in Ketchikan, has the Ketchikan School District done an assessment of what the impact of the governor's 23% proposed school budget cut would, how would that impact your community and most specifically your school and your classroom?
Yes, I attended a budget presentation. It's been probably a little bit over a month ago from our business manager, and she did lay out different options of what the budget will do. And so again, as a teacher, it's terrifying to think of how many teachers, how many positions could be lost, what it's going to do to class sizes, all of those things. And then at the very same time, I almost feel, to be honest, I feel kind of split on it, because how do we make this sustainable for the future if this is our future economically? On one hand, yes, I'm terrified and I'm worried. At the very same time, I'm excited about innovative ways. It's time to go back to the table and say, okay, what can we do to make this work? And then as soon as I say that, I'm scared to death of what that's going to look like in my classroom next year.
So if it comes to supporting the governor's budget, having to take a vote on that, how would you vote as a state Board of Education member?
Well, I'm going to yield to our statement that we released that we're supportive of you guys and supportive of the governor as you work together to create a budget that will carry us into the future. And regardless of how much that budget increases or decreases, we're going to remain steadfast to the Alaska Education Challenge.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Stockhausen. Any further questions? Mm-hmm. Representative Chuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's kind of a non-opinion statement. I think the chairperson asked specifically how you would vote on this last budget.
She did, and at this point, we're not going to vote on that, and so I'm going to yield to that.
And if I may, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Tuck.
I just want to read statute section 1407150, budget and fiscal authority. The commissioner has responsibility and authority for the preparation and execution of a budget and for the other fiscal affairs of the department, subject to the approval of the board. So, Ms. Stockhausen, in your role and responsibilities, do you believe that you would be one who would approve that budget?
At this, again, and I'm sorry that I am not answering your question directly, but at this point, I feel like I need to stay united with the statement that we released. And again, I am concerned about the budget, but I'm also concerned about the future of our state. And I don't know where that answer lies.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Follow up, Mr. Tuck.
I just want to point out, Ms. Stockhausen, that you do have a role and responsibility, and avoiding that role and responsibility, even though you may be united with others, isn't what's written in statute. And so I encourage you to read the statutes that you will be serving under to understand what your role and responsibility will be on this Board of Education.
Thank you.
Representative Rivak also has a question for you. Go ahead.
Thank you, through the chair. Ms. Stockhausen, I appreciate your resume. I appreciate the work that you do. Thank you for testifying here over the phone today. And I also appreciate your avoidance of being political as a board member. I think it's important to not get into partisan politics in such a position. I just appreciate your stance there. I just wanted to say that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Representative Rebeck. And Representative Tuck, go ahead.
But I don't know where the politics plays into this, but following the law isn't necessarily playing politics. It's a duty and responsibility of a board member. Ms. Stockhausen, can you share with us budgets that you've had to look over in your experiences?
Sure. I have not, in terms of school district budgets. I'm on a couple boards, the Ketchikan Theater Ballet Board, and so we do go through expenses, and it's a nonprofit organization. And I'm also on the board at our church, and so, again, there's some budget roles there.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Stockhausen.
Okay. Sure, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Stockhausen. I would love to ask you a little bit more about preschool, but we're totally out of time. I appreciate your service to Alaska, and thank you for joining us this morning. Have a great day at school.
Thank you so much. Have a great day as well.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Bob Griffin from Anchorage. Mr. Griffin. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know the drill. Put your name and affiliation on the record and tell us quickly why you'd like to be on the State Board of Education.
Okay. Chair Drummond and Chair Story, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bob Griffin, and I'm seeking a confirmation to serve as a volunteer on the State Board of Education. I'm joined this morning by my wife, Chen, who's come along with me, and somehow she's put up with me for 37 years. coming up on our next wedding anniversary this spring. I'm very proud of Jen, and I'd just like to share a quick narrative about her. She's came to the United States as a teenager, a political refugee from Laos about 40 years ago, and after a lengthy stay in a crowded refugee camp in Thailand. She's literate in five languages and has learned her fifth language, English, shortly after coming to the United States and enrolling in nursing school, where she tutored her fellow nursing students in math and science and physics. She currently works as a registered nurse and charge nurse at a cardiac unit at a major hospital in Anchorage. We have two daughters, Victoria and Amanda, both graduates of the Anchorage School District system. For my background, my family's been in Alaska continuously since 1899, when my grandparents came, my great-grandparents came to Skagway as an effort to build the White Pass Railway during the Klondike Gold Rush. My grandmother was born in Skagway in 1901. My mother was born some years after that in Skagway as well. My parents were married here in Juneau when it was still the territory of Alaska. I got my 15 minutes of fame early here in Juneau as at age four, with my picture on the front page of the Juneau Empire, as one of the first students in Alaska enrolled in a program, the brand new program at that time called Head Start. Hopefully you have your, my resume in front of you, but from my more recent background, I'm a professional pilot for a little more than 40 years, 20 years of public service as a military instructor pilot and test pilot, and more recently, 20 years as a commercial airline pilot. Some of the experience that I bring to the board is 6 years as a former member and chair of the Budget Advisory Commission for the Anchorage School District and the Municipality of Anchorage. Along with that, I currently serve as a member and have for the last 8 years of the Capital Improvement Advisory Committee appointed by Superintendent Como back 8 years. And just a side note, even though Superintendent Como and I would frequently disagree on policies, I have to mention that she's probably the most dedicated public servant that I've ever had the chance to run across in my many, many years of public service. In addition to that, I've served for 10 years as the Senior Education Research Fellow for the Alaska Policy Forum. In that capacity, I've traveled all over the United States and attended education conferences every corner of the country, seeking out new opportunities and ways to improve student outcomes. And again, to all those endeavors that I've done over those many years, is I've given my time freely as a volunteer. What I think I bring to the board is a kind of a wonky sense of curiosity. I'm constantly asking questions and researching them. And unfortunately, it's a never-ending process, because for every question is answered, there's a new question that emerges, or many more questions that emerge. So I hope to contribute my enthusiasm and knowledge to working collaboratively with the other board members and other stakeholders to fully implement the Alaska Education Challenge to increase student success, to support cultivate safety and well-being in our students, and support responsible and reflective learners. I also have some personal goals that are in line with the Alaska Education Challenge. My first focus right now is addressing the crisis of early childhood literacy in Alaska. If it's permissible, I have a quick handout that I pass around to.
Yes, if you'd give that to my staffer, we don't have time to look at it right now, but
okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
In that handout, it goes through the history of the NAEP test scores for fourth grade reading, and down in the bottom in pink shows the Alaska and the trend. And I've been for a long time an advocate of the Florida model of improving student outcomes with science-based reading. To that end, I'm very appreciative of the efforts of the task force that Representative Drummond that you chaired on, and the works of a quick shout out to Posey Boggs and all the other volunteers that worked very, very hard on that effort. I think science-based reading curriculum and early focus on screening kids early like they do in Florida is definitely has to be one of the highest priorities that we have. We do have great pockets of success, but we have great pockets of disappointing results, of course, across the state. I'm very excited about this prospect of serving with this very talented board. It's an amazing group of people with skill sets, a wide variety of skill sets, you know, and stretching from Ketchikan to Kotzebue. I've gotten to know the members pretty well over the 32 hours and 1,800 pages of materials that we've gone through over my first two meetings with the board. I'm currently serving on the board's regulatory review subcommittee, which is one of the subcommittees that was missing that Sally and I serve on opposite committees. I'm also proud to say that I'm the only non-Inupiaq speaker on the tribal subcompacting or the tribal compacting subcommittee that was recently formed. Bottom line, I'm excited to be here to tackle the significant challenges we face. Despite our challenges, I'm always comforted by the knowledge that our kids are just as bright as kids anywhere. Our teachers are just as dedicated, and our parents love their kids just as much as parents anywhere else. And so I think with strong policy prescriptions that we will be able to allow our kids to achieve at the level that they naturally would. And with that, I'm entertain any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Questions for the appointee? Representative Hopkins?
Thanks for coming before us today, Mr. Griffin. So you had sat on the Anchorage Budget Advisory Committee for the Anchorage School District, and you're a current member of the Anchorage School District Capital Improvement Advisory Committee. Outside of those, do you have any direct experience, academic or in the schools at all, in terms of experience in the education system in Alaska?
I've had a couple of kids that attended the schools, and I was pretty well involved in that. I went 40 years as a flight instructor, teaching people how to fly airplanes. I think is relevant experience. Not, I think, but it's one of the beauties of the State Board of Education, and the amazing number of different skill sets that the board brings. Have a lot of skills that complement one another, and an amazing group of people.
So no, you don't have any experience. Thank you. You don't have any experience in schools or in the school districts at any level outside of those two committees.
Just my 6 years as the member and chair of the Budget Advisory Commission for the Anchorage School District.
Thank you.
Of which I spent a lot of time, visited probably half the campuses of the 100 facilities in the Anchorage School District at the time.
Mr. Hopkins,
I have
other questions? Representative Tuck?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I also served on the Budget Advisory Committee for the municipality over the school district's budget. It changed names over a period of time, but I would
have... It was the
Education Workforce Advisory Committee when I was on it, the Budget Education Workforce Advisory Committee. And then prior to that was, I believe, the municipality budget school Anchorage School District. I forgot what it was, but yeah, it changed names over time, so I appreciate your work on that, because that gave me a lot of experience and insight on how the budget works and what it's doing for us. Also want to thank you for mentioning your wonderful wife, and I want to recognize her in the audience. So we've had this discussion a little bit. You've heard it. You were here when we had the commissioner in front of us regarding the roles and responsibilities of the Board of Education, in particular the budget process. And you heard a statement earlier from Ms. Stockhausen that was read to us. Are you standing beside that statement as well?
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, absolutely. That I think it's important, the State Board of Education, that we maintain our solidarity on this issue, and try and do the best job that we can with the resources that are allocated to us, embroiling ourselves in the political process. At this point, I don't really see how that helps the kids of Alaska. I'm familiar with the statute. I'm also familiar with the AG's opinion that the vote, and I'll make the distinction here, that the vote on the budget was somewhat symbolic, though I would make the distinction that the work of the State Board of Education is certainly not symbolic. Again, when we get together, we go through 900 pages of material, meet for 16 hours at a time, and some very substantive discussion on policies and opportunities to improve outcomes for our kids.
If I may, Madam Chair, follow up,
Mr. Tucker.
Part of the budgeting process is each commissioner from every department to propose a budget for both the governor to consider and the legislature to consider. The legislature is the appropriating body. The final say comes with the governor's veto pen, and then if the legislature so desires, can override that. But we rely heavily on your opinion and the Department of Education's opinion on how we should carry out the plans and the visions that you have for the department and how we can best do that. So we're here to help one another, but if you sit on your hands and say this is just simply a symbolic vote, and I look at the new organization chart that we have in our binder right now, and it no longer has the administrative services director underneath the commissioner. So I know that this new governor proposes to take that power and control away from you. I don't like seeing new board members coming on that's letting that happen. And I want to, in that legal opinion that was done by the Department of Law, they left out one statute, and I'd like to read you another statute. And that's AS 3707110, which provides that this chapter shall be construed as supplemental to all other state laws not in conflict with it. And that's talking about the Executive Budgeting Act. And it's also been of the opinion that anytime any statute, the statute that is more descriptive is the one that prevails. And there is very prescriptive language in the Board of Education on your roles and responsibilities. And I don't see, I originally thought that maybe it was in conflict, but in doing further research, it's not in conflict. As a matter of fact, as I read to you, that this chapter shall be construed as supplemental. So those Executive Budget Act opinions that came from the Department of Law are supplemental. So I don't like, I feel like that this administration is trying to cripple education and putting board members on there that are willing to go along with that. I hope that you would stand up for your roles and responsibilities as a new board member on this. Do you care to comment?
Through the chair, I represent Chuck. All good observations along the way. That I noted in the statute that you read a little earlier about the preparation and the execution of the budget being a board responsibility, being, you know, seven volunteers spread widely across the state, and because of public meeting laws, we really don't have the time and the resources to prepare the budget. I see more of our roles on the execution side. When when the budget comes down, we take the resources that are allocated, and my many, many years in Alaska, I'll never sell short that innovative ability of Alaskans to adapt to whatever the environment is. Would it be better and easier with more money? Sure, but can it be done with less money? I think that's also a certainty. whatever resources were allocated, we are going to do our best to execute the vision of the Alaska Education Challenge and produce the best outcomes we can for our kids. We're in the horrible position of looking at reducing good programs in order to preserve the core programs that based upon the long-range stability of the budget that's going to be available. It has to be sustainable. I said my family's been here for 120 years. I'd like to see this thing go for another 120 years and be sustainable.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You mentioned the Florida model as far as literacy. And as we have board members that share new ideas and new concepts, and well, share the vision and everything else, I think it's very important that we hear from you on what resources you need to make that happen. And if you're just going to, you know, propose things without showing us how we can get you there, I think it's null and void. And what's happening right now with this solidarity stand against what we normally have been doing for years and years, for decades, procedures and traditions on how we do our budgeting process, I don't have faith in believing that you're really passionate about the things that you want to see happen if you're not going to help us get the resources there or show us how to do that. And if you're not able to convince the governor of what needs to be, what needs to happen, you may need to convince us of what needs to happen. So I don't want you to be, I know that you're serving at the whim of the governor and he can replace you at any time, so you have to walk a fine line. But I hope that you will find boldness in helping us do your vision for the Board of Education.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anyone else? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Griffin, you said you have flown around the country and seen a lot of different states and the way they do it through your work with the Alaska Policy Forum. Are you still a member of the Alaska Policy Forum?
Yes, I'm through the chair, Representative Hopkins. I'm still the Senior Education Research Fellow for the Alaska Policy Forum and a board member for the Alaska Policy Forum. Yes, I still work as a volunteer for the Alaska Policy.
And that's fully volunteer, right? You don't receive any stipends or anything like that for it?
I've never received a dime from the Alaska Policy Forum for any of my work.
Okay.
Follow-up
for that? Yes, follow-up. Thank you. There was a report written by the Alaska Policy Forum, a third-grade literacy in Alaska's must read by 9. Were you a part of writing that report and working on it?
Yes, through the chair, Representative Hopkins. My name is prominently placed on it. So, yes, I was a partner in constructing that document.
Thank you. And follow-up?
Follow-up.
Thank you. Did that program address how to solve Alaska's NAEP scores as identified as a problem by you earlier on?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, I think there's the policy prescriptions that we're asking for in the Read by 9 policies mirror very closely some of the things that went on in Florida in the 2002 laws that they passed with the third grade literacy requirement was that science-based reading and along laundry list of things that included early screening, more parental involvement, summer classes, and a variety of prescriptions to improve student outcomes. Sometimes it's kind of hard to divvy out if those were the only things that created better student outcomes. As you can see from the chart that I handed out, Florida and low-income fourth grade reading went from 28th to first in a very short period of time, has been the best student outcomes in fourth grade NAEP test scores for low-income kids since about 2009.
I think you follow up.
Follow up.
Understanding that they saw that jump, Did Florida, I guess, does Florida equate to a similar system of education as Alaska has for public schools for K-12?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, I would say yes, they do. They have a very similar system. It's a much less expensive system, but a very similar system to Alaska. They have the probably more urban school districts. You know, in the case of like the Miami-Dade public school system is 350,000 students, so roughly half the state of the population of the state of Alaska. And so there are some great differences in it. And some of the stats that we published in that report, the fact that in the Miami-Dade public schools, about 93% of the kids are ethnic minorities, 66% are free or reduced lunch, and about 60% of the kids don't speak English at home, yet their fourth grade NAEP test scores were about a half a year ahead of the upper and middle income kids in Alaska.
I understand that they might have a substantial similar speaking situation, but can you explain to me how Florida in its education system is similar to a district such as Representative Zolkowski's district, outside of understanding that there's, you know, the demographics you shared, but can you explain to me how a cost differential might compare between Florida and a district like Representative Zolkowski's?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, yeah, it's more expensive to do things in Alaska. I was here in 1960 when Alaska was the sixth most expensive state per capita on spending. We've grown to the most expensive state. Our K-12, according to the figures from the National Education Association's rankings and estimates, K-12 spending in Alaska has grown on a per-student basis, and average daily attendance has grown much faster than Florida over the last 18-year period when these policies in Florida were instituted.
Do we follow up?
I don't hear an answer there. Go ahead, follow up, see if you can get it.
Do we spend too much on education up here?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, I would not say that we spend too much. But I would say, relative to Florida, that Florida has somehow found a way to reallocate resources on a very thrifty budget, and they were able to enjoy things that we don't have up here, like voluntary pre-K and other aspects.
In terms of seeing those changes quickly in Florida, didn't they invest billions of dollars in their pre-K and early education learning system? And don't they have a constitutional amendment limiting class size to differentiate themselves substantially from us?
Through the chair, Representative Hopkins, those are all good observations. That they do have a constitutional amendment that limits class sizes, though again through the latest numbers, the National Education Association rankings and estimates. Florida currently has about 19 students per educator, and Alaska has about 13 students per educator. As far as the pre-K program in Florida came around in 2005, and the first cohort to be involved in voluntary pre-K tested for NAEP in 2010. As you can see from the chart that I handed out, in 2009, Florida was number one in the nation in low-income fourth-grade reading. So though voluntary pre-K has probably helped them maintain their number one status, it wasn't actually part of the number one status.
Thank you all. Yield my time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Zolkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin, for your comments and your time with us this morning. I guess I want to drill a little bit deeper into cost per student. We hear a lot in this body comparing costs of what it's like to do service and deliver services throughout Alaska in comparison to national averages. We hear it in health and social services. We hear it in education, often trying to align what it takes to deliver, whether it's education or healthcare, here in rural Alaska or just even in urban Alaska in comparison to states around the country. And I guess I just want to drill a little bit deeper into what Representative Hopkins was saying, which is the cost of living in Florida is dramatically different from the cost of living in rural Alaska, where I doubt that there are communities in Florida where residents are paying $5 to $13 for a gallon of gas, where electricity is going to be costing several hundreds of dollars, where school districts have to provide teacher housing because there may not be adequate housing available within our communities. And so I guess I just want to drill a little bit deeper into your statement. Do you recognize as, and again, there may be best practices that are utilized in states throughout the country, but in your position as a member of the Board of Education, do you recognize that there's a stark difference in the cost of providing education throughout rural Alaska than there is in providing education in the state of Florida?
Through the chair, Representative Zolkowski. Yeah, absolutely. There's a stark stark cost difference providing K-12 education in rural Alaska in my mom's hometown of Skagway. It's a very expensive system as well. And a lot of this, as the chair of the Budget Advisory Commission, I'm very familiar with the cost drivers of that are driving the cost of K-12 education. And a lot of those cost drivers are not ending up in classroom instruction. You know, the cost drivers that the healthcare costs and everything that are associated. And that really begs the question: in the long run, how other states have been able to rein in and maintain those cost drivers, and some of them have grown out of control for us, because the amount of money that we dedicate towards K-12 education has been, my experience is that we're not getting a lot of those increases don't seem to be ending up in the classroom. A lot of them are being absorbed by cost drivers that are difficult, or that we as a state are having difficulty in wrangling in.
Follow up, Representative Sikorski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess in terms of your role on the State Board of Education, recognizing that, and thank you for your comments, recognizing the cost difference in delivering services in rural Alaska versus, you know, a state like Florida that has a significant amount of infrastructure that we don't enjoy here in our state. So recognizing that there is significant cost difference in delivering those services, in your role on the State Board of Education, would you uphold the solvency of delivering education throughout Alaska equitably through full and adequate funding of the base student allocation, through potentially increasing opportunities for funding K-12 education, through making sure that we're providing adequate state match for early learning programs? Are those positions that you would take as a member of the State Board of Education?
Well, there's through the chair, Representative Zolkowski, there's a lot to unpack, I guess, in that question. But yes, you know, that we the State Board will take the resources that we have available to make sure that we can produce the best student outcomes that we have, and live within the fiscal reality of the situation that we're in.
Final follow-up?
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just in terms of, I guess for myself, being relatively new in this building is understanding a bit more about the process. And to my colleague, Representative Tuck's point in the earlier candidate's testimony, is that the State Board of Education is in a position of developing a budget that is then forwarded to the governor and the legislature for consideration. And so I guess I would implore you, as you are moving through the confirmation process and being considered, that you take a position of recognizing that as an advocate for education, that we would hope that you would promote the adequate amount of funding that is needed to do this work, and not take a position of working within our means when the State Board of Education should be driving the conversation around our state budget. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Zolkowski. Additional questions? Representative Story?
Yes. One thing that comes to mind when you were quoting class sizes of 19 in Florida and averaged per teacher here at 13, in my experience, in the Juneau School District, you would not see class sizes like that. I know in Anchorage, other places, there's not class sizes like that. And so I would just encourage you, as being interested on serving on the board, is to really visit the schools and see what class sizes that are out there. And I heard from on our first appointee today, serving in the Ketchikan school, she sees firsthand when she was saying how frightened she was looking to see what the reality of budget cuts would be, because I do see the board as their first and utmost responsibility is to know the students that they're serving, their classroom situations, and to be their voice, one of their voices for their future with their education.
If I may, Madam Chair.
Representative Tucker, I'd like to ask some questions.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right, please.
You're ready to wrap up, but I was going to say.
Mr. Griffin, yes. Among the solutions that you propose in the APF report are home reading programs. To that end, what do you think about the governor's proposal to completely eliminate Parents as Teachers program and Best Beginnings, which provides books to thousands of kids in the state?
Well, Co-Chair Drummond, excellent question. As I mentioned before, again, we're in the horrible situation of looking at reducing good programs to try and preserve the core programs based upon the
fiscal. That was eliminate. That was not reducing. That was completely eliminate.
Okay. The Chair Drummond, that program was slated to be eliminated. I'm confident that program added value along the way, but again, we're in that horrible situation of reducing and eliminating programs in order to preserve the core programs.
And with Florida having voluntary universal preschool and this governor proposing to eliminate, in addition to those home reading programs that you just mentioned, he's also proposing to eliminate any preschool programs as well as the Head Start basic grant that generates another $50 million in federal revenue so that hundreds of kids around the state can be served. Do you also support eliminating preschool when it so obviously contributes to improved NAEP reading scores?
Chair Drummond, a great question. As a Head Start kid myself, I think I gained value from that program when I just lived a few blocks from this building. Going back to the Florida experience, again, to repeat myself, that the 2009 Florida tested number one in low-income fourth grade reading in the United States, about 2.5 years ahead of the low-income fourth graders in Alaska, and that was prior to the first pre-K cohort coming on board. So, yes, the program does add value, but there are possibly more innovative solutions out there to produce similar outcomes if we're not in a fiscal situation that we can afford pre-K.
It's difficult to have innovative solutions when there isn't money to implement innovative solutions. I have a couple more questions. Do you support the governor's proposed sweep of the Higher Education Investment Fund that currently generates about $20 million in interest revenues at over 6% a year, provides scholarships and grants to hundreds of Alaskan students? He's proposing to sweep it into the general fund where the scholarship applicants will have to compete with every other request of the general fund, and it would generate less than 1% in interest. And once it's spent, it's gone.
Chair Drummond, unfortunately, that's not in my particular wheelhouse. I haven't looked at that issue closely, so I couldn't make an educated comment on that.
Okay, and then I have a few absolute yes or no questions. Is it true that you've said you will not run for public office again because you refused to take a candidate training class from the Alaska Public Offices Commission? Yes or no?
Chair Drummond, that's no.
No, I see. I have the file from the Alaska Public Offices Commission, and you said you would not take it. Is it true that the Alaska Public Offices Commission found that you accepted cash contributions for your campaign for school board in excess of the legally allowed amount?
That's true.
And is it true that the Alaska Public Offices Commission found that you accepted anonymous contributions to your campaign for school board?
Chair Drummond, that's true. Those were
That's true. You said yes. Thank you. Is it true that the Alaska Public Offices Commission could not determine how you spent excess campaign funds after the campaign, but they did determine that most were taken from the account through ATM withdrawals in another state?
Representative Drummond, is true.
Thank you. In that case, if you can't manage your personal campaign finances running for public office, I can't support you in an appointed position, especially when you're overseeing an upwards of $1 billion budget in the state Department of Education and Early Development. Thank you for your public service. We have to wrap this meeting up and appreciate your coming forward today. The next House Education Committee is scheduled for Friday. Oh, sorry, Representative Story.
The Education Committee has reviewed the qualifications of the governor's appointees to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development and recommends that Sally Stockhausen and Bob Griffin should be forwarded for consideration by a joint session of the legislature. This does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against these individuals during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation.
Thank you, Representative Story. We will sign the paperwork after we adjourn. The next House Education Committee meeting is scheduled for Friday, April 12, 2019, where we will consider the governor's appointees to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. And with that, we are adjourned at 9:04 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.